Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you were just working all the time and never seemed to be paying off? Working all the time and never seeming to be able to get ahead at all. Maybe you felt like this when you were first starting out, maybe your first job from high school or college. Maybe you still feel like that sometimes for some of us. This is the situation that Ruth and Naomi were in when they came back to the land of Canaan after they had left to go to the land of Moab. If you would, turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 2. Two women without husbands. One was most likely too old to work. The other one was young and capable, but she was probably working all she could just to scrape enough to get by for herself and her mother-in-law. They had each other, but in many ways they seemed like they were all alone. No husband. No one to protect them, no one to care for them, no one to take care of their needs. Perhaps you've been in a situation where you seem like your situation was hopeless. We're picking up in chapter 2 today, but I want to give you an overview of Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1 begins, there's no bread in the land of Bethlehem. And so what's Naomi and her husband Elimelech going to do? It's the promised land. But it doesn't seem like those promises have come to pass. And it's during the time of the judges. So if you study the time of the judges, it was a time where they were experiencing the curses of the covenant. You remember in Deuteronomy, there were the blessings and the curses. And because of the disobedience of the Israelites, the curses of the covenant had come upon them. And so Elimelech and Naomi do what seems to be the practical thing to do, which is to go to the greener pastures of Moab. And that's what they do. They go and seek bread in Moab. But as you know the story, if you do, things seem like they're going well for a while, but quickly things turn. First, her husband dies. Elimelech dies. And then her two boys marry Moabite women, which is forbidden by the law of Moses. And then, finally, her sons die, and poor Naomi is left all alone in the same situation she started with. She has no bread. But in that desperate situation, she gets some good news. The Lord has restored bread to Bethlehem. The Lord has remembered his covenant promises to Israel. And so she gathers up her daughters-in-law, and they head home. And as you know the story, Naomi is trying to talk her daughters-in-law out of going back with her. She says three times that they should return. Return and find rest in Moab. They both say, no, we'll return to be with your people. And again, she says, return, you'll have no husband. And Orpah, which her name means something like returns, she does return. I love how in the Old Testament the names of the people and the places actually have significance to the story. But Ruth continues. And again, Naomi says, return, like your sister-in-law. Do the practical thing. Make the practical decision. You're not going to have a husband. It makes no sense for you to come back with me to Israel. Besides, I'm a cursed woman. But she keeps going, and if we know the story, she makes that commitment. She says, where you go, I will go, and where you die, I will go, die. Where you lodge, I will lodge. I'm summarizing. Basically, your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. And Naomi doesn't say a word to her the rest of the journey. It's, you ever been a long car ride with somebody and they just sit over there with their hands folded and they're not saying anything to you? After she makes that commitment, Naomi doesn't say anything. And as you know, when she returns home, she doesn't want anybody to call her Naomi anymore because she's bitter. Call me Mara. Excuse me. But we get some good news at the end of chapter 1, and that is they're coming at a good time. They're coming during the time of the harvest. And so the title of this lesson is Gleaning for Grace. They're coming at the time of the harvest, but there's a problem because they've planted no seeds. They've tended no crop. They have no rightful share in this harvest. And Naomi is a Moabite, so she certainly doesn't have a share in this harvest. How will they get any bread? They're going to have to rely on the Lord's provision and the mercy and hospitality of the Lord's people. And so as chapter 2 begins, if you'd like to follow along with me in the reading, in verse 1, we get some background information from the narrator. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth and of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor." I like the King James Version here. It says grace, so I might find grace. She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to his reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servants who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" The servant in charge of the reapers replied, "She's the young Moabite woman who's returned with Naomi from the land of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." Thus she came and has remained from morning until now, and she's been sitting in the house for a little while. So as chapter 2 begins, we get introduced to this wealthy relative, Boaz. He's a close relative of Elimelech. And as the story begins, Ruth goes and asks her mother-in-law to go out and glean. I mentioned before, this word that we find in verse 2, glean for favor, New American Standard says, but King James Version says grace. It's really, grace would be an appropriate word. She's gleaning for grace. Later, when the Hebrew scriptures are translated into Greek in what's called the Septuagint, it translates this word in the same word that we have in the New Testament for grace. So she's gleaning for grace. It's interesting. She's going out in search of grace, but as a foreigner. She doesn't deserve what she's going to receive. She's not planted. She's not tended. She's not watered. And she happens by chance, into the field of Boaz. If you're familiar with the story, nothing's happening by chance in the story. In fact, the Lord is working through his providence to bring Naomi and Ruth back into his people for a special blessing. Remember that blessing that God had promised to Abraham, that one of his descendants would bless all the nations of the earth? Well, God is working to bring about that blessing through Ruth. In verse 4, we see something very interesting. The owner of the field shows up. Imagine if you're wandered into the field of your neighbor and have been picking his vegetables in his garden. And suddenly he shows up. Well, what's going to happen? What is he going to do? Is he going to curse you? Is he going to tell you to go away, speak harshly to you? Well, that's the opposite of what we see. Boaz, instead of a curse, he brings a blessing. He says, "May the Lord be with you." We see something about his character when he enters the field. He has a good relationship with all those who are around him, especially his workers. And he notices this young woman who he's never seen before. He says, "Who is this young woman?" And he learns that she is Ruth. She has come from afar. She's come to seek refuge. She's returned with her mother-in-law. And so, what does he do? Well, he's going to allow her to pick up and glean in his field. What she's been doing up to this point is working like a dog all day, just picking up scraps after those people who have gone before her in the harvest. And so I want to ask us a question at this point in the story, verses 1 through 7, has she found what she's looking for? Well, you may say yes, but this is a very hard life. Gleaning all day just for enough scraps to get a meal, is that the kind of grace that she was looking for? Well, she's certainly not unthankful. She's happy to work for everything that she's gotten, but I want to suggest to you she still has some more to learn about the abundance of the Lord's grace. Read with me in verse 8. Then Boaz says to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw." Verse 10. Then she fell on her face, bowing down to the ground, and said, "Why have I found grace in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" Boaz replied to her, "All that you've done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. And how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and came to a people who you did not previously know." Verse 12 is the blessing, if you like to underline your Bibles. He says, "May the Lord reward your work, and your wages be to the full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to seek refuge." And in verse 13, she said, "I have found grace in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have indeed spoken kindly to me, your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." See, something changes for Ruth in verse 8. Before, she's gathering scraps through fields, unprotected, in a dangerous time. This is the time of the judges, where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. If you remember that story at the end of the judges, where they cut up a woman and sent her to all the parts of the earth, parts of the countryside. It was dangerous for a young woman to go and gleaning in the fields. But now she's found grace in the sight of Boaz. She has a safe place to work, safe place to glean. And first, in verse 8, he addresses her as daughter. I find this very interesting. Instead of taking advantage of this young woman's vulnerable situation, his instinct is to not take advantage of her, but to protect her, to provide for her. And not only that, he formally invites her to glean from his field, and he instructs her not to even leave to go to another field. Furthermore, he instructs his servants to provide water for her, do the hard work of drawing up that water. And what is her reaction? In verse 10, she's astonished. At the reception of such grace, she falls on her face because she knows as a foreigner she doesn't deserve to receive such treatment. If you like to mark in your Bibles, we see this repetitive word favor three times here. In verse 2, this is what she's looking for. She's going out to look for favor, gleaning for grace or favor. And in verse 10 and verse 13, she finally finds it. But why did she receive it? Well, Boaz says he's impressed by her commitment. Her commitment to her mother-in-law, which he thinks is very admirable, and her going above and beyond even after the death of her husband, and her commitment to the Lord to seek refuge among his people. But a question that comes to my mind is, why would Boaz comfort her so greatly? After all, she is a Moabite woman. In fact, in the law, in Deuteronomy, they were warned not to allow a Moabite into the congregation of Israel until the 10th generation. Well, I think this book plays a special role in the history of the Israelites. This shows to the Israelite people that what God really wants them to do is to extend grace to those foreigners who would come and seek refuge under the Lord's wing. In fact, as I was looking, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 34, I'll summarize part of it, you don't have to turn there. It instructs them that the stranger, the foreigner, should be treated as one of the native born, because they were once a foreigner as well. At one time, they had immigrated to the land, and specifically he says, one time you were a foreigner in the land of Egypt. And so the question I'd like to ask us is, what is our natural instinct for those who have come and sought refuge in the Lord, those who are perhaps outsiders? What is our attitude towards those who would come and seek refuge among the Lord's people? Would we be willing to show the same grace? Well, many times we show favor and grace to those who are among us, those who are our brethren. But how far are we willing to go to embrace and go out of our way to protect those who are not brethren? Verse 13 impresses me greatly. It says, she says, "I found grace, for you've comforted me, even though I am not one of your own." Well, again, I'll ask you the question, has Ruth found grace at this point? Well, I think it's improving. Her situation is definitely improving. She now has a safe place to glean. She doesn't have to worry about attackers. She's protected by the servants, and she has water. But still notice that she's gleaning all day just for scraps and just enough to get by. She still has the same kind of hard life. And I want to suggest to you, as the story is unwinding, as it's developing, she still has more to learn about the Lord's grace. Follow me along in verse 14. Things are about to change. In verse 14 it says, "At mealtime Boaz said to her, 'Come here, that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied, and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves. Do not insult her. Also, you shall purposefully pull out some of the grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in that field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. Verse 18, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also took it out and gave Naomi what she had after she had been satisfied. Now, it would be completely normal for a man who owned a field during harvest time to come and invite his workers to partake of the harvest and feed them a meal. But what's unusual about this situation is that he invites a foreigner. He invites Ruth to come and sit down, and I think this demonstrates the compassion that he has. He has the same kind of hospitality, love for strangers, that Abraham, in the famous story where he entertains those angels unaware on their way to Sodom. And this marks a turning point for Ruth. This meal changes everything for her. Before, she's working all day long, just enough to get by, picking up scraps, barely able to feed herself and her mother-in-law. But notice in verse 14, she ate and was satisfied. That's a word we may just run over very quickly, because we don't know often what it's like to miss too many meals. If you look at me, I haven't missed too many meals, and much is the case for most of you. But this was an important word. I think it's very important in the story, because before she was just barely getting by, and in verse 14, she's satisfied, and for the first time she has an abundance. And it also marks a turning point in her relationship with Boaz. When she gets up and returns to glean, she's no longer confined just to the borders of the field. She can glean anywhere she wants in his field. And in fact, he tells his servants to act like they're being a little careless. Pull out some of the good stuff and just throw it on the ground and make it easier for her. And so as she beats out the grain and harvests what she has for the end of the day's work, she has a whole ephah. Huh? It's hard to get excited when you don't know what an ephah is, right? Well, she has two-thirds of a bushel. Well, if you're older, you may know what a bushel is. What about 30 to 50 pounds of grain? That gives us some measurement that we might be familiar with. She goes out for a day's worth of grain, but what she comes home with is basically a whole month's worth of grain for her and her mother-in-law. And she's going to come and bring that to her mother-in-law, who's been sitting very bitter at home. Read with me in verse 19 and following. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law, with whom she had worked, and said, "The name of the man whom I work today is Boaz." Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead." Again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He's one of our redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabitess said, "Furthermore, he said to me, 'You should stay close to my servants until they finish all my harvest.'" Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids, so that others do not fall upon you in another field." So she stayed close by the maids of Moab, Boaz, in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Keep in mind, again, that Naomi's been sitting at home bitter because her husband had died in Moab and her sons had died in Moab, and she kind of grudgingly seems to come back to Bethlehem because she needs to find bread, but where else is she going to go? And she's trying to convince even her daughters-in-law not to come with her. But everything changes for Ruth. Naomi at this point. She goes from bitter to blessing. From bitter to blessing. She says, Blessed is he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness with the living and the dead. Now, I don't know Hebrew, but as I was doing research, some translations are actually blessing Boaz, and some translations seem to be blessing the Lord for remembering his covenant with his people. And that would fit the context as well. But what is the main idea here? The main idea here is that Naomi is no longer bitter. When she came back, she didn't see the blessing. And sometimes in our life, it's the same situation. The Lord may be bringing us through a low point. Maybe we made some bad decision, and he's brought us low, and he's trying to bring us back to his people. And we're just kind of kicking and screaming the whole way. We're going back because we don't have any other option. And we're kind of bitter. We can't see the blessing. We can't see what the Lord is trying to do in our life. Well, we still have something to learn about the Lord's abundant grace. Notice also that Boaz is being used to bring about this blessing. He's providing food and protection to her, and he's going to be an important character later on in the Bible story. She stays close to Boaz and his field and his workers, not just for one harvest, but for two, the barley and the wheat harvest. So what are some applications? To make a pun, what can we glean from this chapter? Well, a few things. I think number one is we need to seek refuge in the Lord and his people. Ruth's decision to seek refuge was made before, and that led to her blessing. This wasn't the most practical decision either. It would have been most practical for her to stay in Moab and find her Mr. Moabite right and to find rest there. She took a great risk, a great cost to her own. She couldn't see that what was going to happen to her by going, but she did the right thing. She sought refuge in the Lord. So seek refuge in the Lord. Number two, the commitment comes before the blessing. The commitment comes before the blessing. She made a decision to commit to her mother-in-law and the Lord's people and to seek refuge even before she saw the benefits of it. She had a proper attitude. She was loyal. She was humble. She worked hard, and she trusted that the Lord would provide for her. Number three, God's grace often exceeds our expectations. The movement in this narrative is from gleaning to abundant grace, from gleaning and barely getting by to abundantly being graced. And God's grace, I want to suggest, is often going to surprise us. It's often going to spill over into places that we did not expect the Lord to bless us. And number four, share your blessings with others. Excuse me. Because Naomi because Boaz is blessed with an abundant harvest, what does he do with that harvest? He takes care of the poor and those who are gleaning around him, those who come to seek refuge in his field. And even though Ruth is not a wealthy woman, when she is blessed by the Lord, what does she do? She shares that blessing with her mother-in-law. So I want to suggest to you, when you receive God's grace, be willing to turn around and share it with other people. So in closing, I want to ask, how do we find God's grace? Well, in a similar way as what we read here, like Ruth, we must be willing to leave everything behind. We must be willing to not make always the practical decision to do what's right, but to follow the Lord and to seek refuge under his wing. In a time when everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes in Israel, there's this little Moabite widow who decides to do what's right in the Lord's eyes. And I think the story shows that God chooses to give his grace to people that we don't often expect. His grace just bubbles up and flows and spills over into areas that we don't expect, and to people that we don't often feel deserve it. And I think perhaps we need the same lesson today. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, well, how can I find the Lord's favor? What about me? Well, unfortunately, Boaz is not still alive. So you can't go and glean in Boaz's field. But we learn in Matthew chapter 1 that Boaz is an ancestor of Jesus. Boaz was a special part of Israel's history and a special part of our history as well, because through him, God was working to bring a blessing to everyone here. God was working in his providence to bring a blessing to us through Jesus Christ, a descendant of Boaz. Now, just like Ruth, when she began, what was she doing? She was just going out seeking grace, seeking favor from whoever she might find it, but seeking refuge among the Lord's people, seeking refuge from the Lord. And like Ruth, when you begin gleaning for spiritual bread, the Lord will ensure that you find it. You may think that you have come here this morning by chance, but maybe you were come here so that you could receive a blessing, to hear about the Lord and his favor. The Lord brought her into that field for a reason. And I'm sure we can all think of situations in our own life. Either we were, by the Lord's grace, we were born into a family of Christians, or perhaps you have a story that you were brought into the Lord's field and among his people in ways that you cannot fully explain. I want to suggest to you that once you start seeking the Lord, he's going to ensure that you find what you're looking for. And like Boaz invited Ruth to that special meal, Jesus also invites us to a special meal, to take the bread, and the wine, which represent the sacrifice of his body, so that we could come and that we could find grace. It's a fellowship meal that changes everything for us. We all come tired, but he promises to send us away satisfied. We all come gleaning just enough to get by, but we leave full with some left over. And the question is, after we find such grace, are we willing to share it with others? After finding such grace, would we even wander into another field where we might come into danger again? The Lord of the harvest invites us to stay until the harvest is over. And he warns us about the dangers of going anywhere else. And so as I close this morning, I want you to think about these things. Seek after the Lord's favor, and you'll be satisfied. Come to the Lord's field and glean and work hard, and you will find his grace. Accept the Lord's invitation to sit at his table, and you will be satisfied. Stay in the Lord's field until the harvest is complete, and be willing to share that harvest with others. Perhaps someone here is this morning who is looking for the Lord's favor. Well, we have an opportunity for you to find that favor this morning. The Lord invites all those who will come to his feast to come, to repent of their sins, to turn from their ways, to seek refuge under his wing. And to do that, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins so that we could have our sins forgiven, so we could find that grace and sit at the Lord's table. He invites us to repent of our sins and be baptized into Christ. The water is ready. If someone is ready to be baptized into Christ this morning, don't delay. There's danger in those other fields. Through the Lord's providence, you've made it into his field, and he's inviting you to stay until the harvest is over. If anyone is subject to that invitation, won't you take advantage of it? Won't you take advantage of the Lord's invitation? You've been seeking a blessing, and the blessing has been offered. Will you take it? I invite you to come as we stand and as we sing the selected song.